And good morning, listener. It's a very, wild and windy Kentish day. Cut myself off some beautiful peonies because the wind was going to rip their heads off, I think. Very unseasonable weather. We have rain, we have wind, and in the studio.
So that is just in the studio.
Is good morning, Mr. Steve Wood.
Good morning, Jules.
How are you?
Very well.
I'm feeling a bit muffled. Do I sound muffled?
No, you sound absolutely fine. I'm actually feeling quite summery. I've got my shorts on.
Yes.
And I've got cold legs.
Well, you're like a postman, aren't you?
If you say so.
Well, postmen always get their, posties always get their legs out in November.
And do you know why that is?
No, I've no idea. So the dogs can bite their ankles?
No, because their shorts dry quicker than trousers when they get wet.
Oh, right, everybody really?
Everybody thinks it's because they're tough, but it's not.
Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that little snippet. So, Stevie Wood, you're going to be talking to us today about what's in season. It's coming up to, well, we are in June. It's fabulous produce month. Don't tell us now, but you are going to be talking about that, aren't you?
I'll think of something about what's in season because there is so much.
And Elm Court?
Elm Court Farmers Market, this Sunday. Loads about that.
Looking forward to that. And we had that strange five-week month, didn't we,
in May? I missed you. Three times a year, yes.
Yeah, I missed you. Seemed very quiet. I was panicking.
Kent Farmers Market month. I might just squeeze a little bit in about that. Because June is Kent Farmers Market month, you know.
And bread. Is it bread month yet or not?
No, that was last month.
Was it?
Kent Farmers Market.
I never had a slice.
No. Good job I saved some. It's a bit green, but it's still...
Be all right with your chilli jam.
Yeah.
Who would know?
Be good.
Now, flanking Steve Wood, we have the fabulous Jeff Kipp. Good morning, Jeff.
Hello, Jules. How are you?
Very well. And I love your dulcet tones because we were practicing, weren't we? We were doing Angry Chef.
Yeah, tried that one.
And then Come Hither, Chef.
Lots of expletives and things like that. Yeah. So. We're okay now, though.
We're very good. Sure. Sounding good. Now, Jeff Kipp, the reason I dragged him in is because, as you may remember, listener, it was my birthday last Tuesday. In fact, I'm still celebrating.
Jules, they remember, do you?
I remember bits. I don't remember much of Jeff's meal, which
moment
is why
of clarity.
I need to... I remember eating it, but I can't remember all the you know, because they get... Biddenden Wine and Jeff gave a fabulous talk on foraging and lovely wine. And to be honest... I didn't take it all in. Let's just say a few blanks.
But there were some pictures, though. Lots of photographs.
Yeah.
So it was okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were.
Or evidence, as we like to say.
Exactly. Mm. I've got lots on my phone. Very hard to take pictures of you, though, because you kept standing by the door. And also, you're probably the worst subject I've ever taken pictures of, because you don't stand still. You wave your hands around. So I've got lots of hands, you know, in motion.
Yeah.
But very, very enjoyable. I loved it. My mum loved it. She's 84. She's never had anything like that in her life. You know,
no chance of that woman 84 years old.
She's amazing, isn't she? Get her in the kitchen. She'd sort you out, I tell you. So we're going to be talking about Jeff's cuisine on that night, because I've been in on a normal day and had the lovely, my famous huevos ranchos, which I'm very, very partial to. In fact, the next day I nearly rang on Wednesday and said, any chance for strong coffee and some huevos ranchos? Because it's just what I needed.
Is that Mexican eggs?
Could be. Ask Jeff.
Okay.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jeff.
He does a mean huevos ranchos. And it was so good, it inspired me. And I made my own on site. It wasn't quite like yours, of course. It's the presentation I can't really do. You know, I put
cool little pots and things. It makes it all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think I'll have to go into the kitchen with Jeff and have with your chef. What's your chef's name?
It's myself and Will in the kitchen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Will is a celiac, so he loves me, and I love him because he can rustle up anything I want, which is what I like about a chef like that knows about gluten-free. But you're also pretty hot on most allergies there, aren't you?
Yeah.
If somebody came in and was dairy-free, you could handle it.
Yeah, well, we start from scratch. Everything's from scratch, so we know exactly what's in everything. And we tend to start with that in mind, that we can so we can adjust dishes. So
Jeff is going to be telling us about the rabble that came in on my birthday. I think there were about eight of us, and we were all very well behaved, of course, but we were the last to leave. So Jeff had his coat on, We were still pouring.
That's why you got the Mexican eggs, because that's a breakfast dish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
He had his slippers, you know, his pipe, he's brushing his teeth, and we were still there drinking. But hey ho, we had fun. So we are. Who are our sponsors, Mr. Co-presenter? Have I actually told you? I can't remember. Keep track.
There's going to be a rustle in the paper now, just while I have a look for that. Bean Smitten is one.
Mm.
I know that for a fact because I'm seeing him Sunday after.
That's the lovely Darren Tickner.
At Tunbridge Farmers Market, yeah. Breakthrough Funding.
Well, can you just run us through what Breakthrough Funding do, as you're so diligent?
Yeah, they're very good at some stuff that most small businesses aren't very good at, to be quite honest. They will help you raise some money to do some scientific research or to pay for it if you've done it. As you know, most small businesses, myself included, aren't very good at paperwork and don't really look at grants and things like that because there's too much hassle involved. Well, they can help you. They can get you some money. Phone them up. They ask you 6 simple questions. And if you get the right answers, they will then follow that through for you and they will do all the work. And as far as I'm aware, if you get some money, they take some money. If you don't, they don't do anything. Jules is now going to give us their details because I don't have that in front of me.
Right. Well, because I'm brainy, I can just remember it, Stevie Wood. It's breakthroughfunding.com. Now, if you go on to that, there is a free phone and you can just phone them up and have a natter. There's a team there. There's Sue Nelson at the helm. And then they've got a whole team. Talk to them. They are just going to ask you 5 very simple questions and they will let you know whether they can help you get up to, did you say £47,000?
I didn't know because I didn't know how much it was. 47,000.
Smackaroonies.
I'm going to phone them straight after the show.
I know.
Their Twitter handle
is @breakthroughfun, FUN.
And it does sound fun. It would be fun if you got £47,000.
I'd just go and live in Barbados and give up the business, I think, wouldn't you?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I think you actually have to spend it on something. That's the only problem.
Probably. Yeah. Now, later on, Jeff and I had a brainwave, and because we were drinking Biddenden wine, which I have a problem saying, you may notice, Biddenden. Listener. Biddenden. You say it so sweetly. Say it again.
Thank you. Biddenden.
Biddenden.
I've lived here all my life.
Biddenden. It's just too many D's and N's.
It's an old Kentish name, and I'm just an old Kentish geezer. So, you know.
You are definitely an old geezer.
That's what it is.
We're going to have Julian Barnes, who's the managing director, who was running us through these beautiful wines. I have to say, I do remember some, Jeff. I remember with the amazing Razor Clams, that which was actually one of the nicest meals I probably have ever had. It was Razor Clams with sea pot. I haven't got my glasses on, Nurse Liz, and it's little pixie writing on the menu here I'm reading. But it's sea parsley, gorge pickle and seeds. And then we had a Gribble Bridge Dornfelder.
Dornfelder,
2013 from Biddenden to sip with that, which was delicious. And then the main course, we're not supposed to be talking about this now, but I can't help myself. The main course was a local turbot. See, I always want to say turbo because of cars, you see, because
that's the way we say in America.
I used to drive one. Do you say turbo?
Yeah, I'm afraid. Do you? Yeah.
What, even for the fish?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Local turbot is that lardo?
Yes.
What's lardo as opposed to lardons?
Lardons is cut bacon,
right.
Or lardo is cured pork fat. So it's taken off the back and then cured for a month.
Wow.
With spices and seasonings. It's absolutely life-changing.
Wow.
Well, it sounds life-changing.
It did. It changed my life. It was a lardo and then salt-baked Alexanders. Now, did I get salt-baked Alexanders because I was gluten-free or did I get something else?
No, there's no gluten in an Alexander.
What is an Alexander?
If you drive by the roadside... That's the little yellow flowering plants.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought that was rapeseed.
We're going to...
Yeah. The ones in the fields.
I thought it was a buttercup.
On the roadside. Of the Alexander.
I thought it was a buttercup. Do you like butter?
I do like butter.
We'll do the test on you. Do you know about that? It's very English. You get the buttercup. I'm sure you do this to your kids, Jeff, every morning. You get the buttercup, don't you, Steve? And
you put
it under your chin. And if it shines yellow, it means you love butter.
And you tend to love butter more when the sun's shining.
Yeah, you do.
Ironically.
So we're going to be talking about foraging because I want to know all about it. So we're going to be going on, and I love the way he puts afters on his menu too. Afters.
Just leaves it open, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it was Sweet Sicily. Do you know what that is? I didn't know what it was.
It's a plant that grows in the hedgerow. It's going to be my guess.
Yeah.
Right next to the Alexanders.
Yeah. Handy.
I nearly knew that.
And we had it with strawberry and licorice. So we're going to be running through that. I wish I was going tonight. See,
were
Tuesday.
Were they those little wild strawberries that you get with the real intense flavour?
Like the real Swiss Austrian that you'd find in the mountains.
Yes. Call them Alpine strawberries.
Yes,
exactly,
but you do find the grain wild in this country.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can buy the seeds and they're scattered across the back of my garden. Okay. Like a weed.
Have you got a big garden?
No.
But
nice little garden.
Have you got a small holding or anything?
But it smells of strawberries when he walks out there.
No. Will the chef, let's club together and get Will the chef a small holding.
That's okay.
I'm sure he hasn't got enough to do.
Chickens and pigs would be fantastic.
Yeah. Stevie Wood, I think before we play a song, we're going to have a little bit of Twitterdom. Have you got anybody up on your Twitter?
Yeah, I've got quite a few people tweeting in today, in actual fact.
It's busy, isn't
which
it?
Which is nothing
new.
They're
all new. Back from half term.
Yeah, it must be, mustn't they? Sally for Cakes has been on.
She makes a delicious lemon drizzle.
Lisa Jane. I picked up on Jeff Kipp, and then I realised he's sitting next to me. That's quite embarrassing, isn't it?
So he was just advertising himself before he popped in.
Yeah. The Fat Carrot have been up. They're always a regular tweeter, and they're out catering this week, so they're not at any farmers' markets.
And I must say, listen, she's not at all fat or orange.
No, and she's not a carrot.
No.
Cherry Berry, who isn't either of those either, he's just shouted in to say...
Now, didn't they say they had something on?
No, he's at a couple of markets at the weekend, and I have now lost him. I can tell you which one he's at on Sunday.
See, Dr. John used to be very diligent
on this.
That's
easy,
Steve.
Yes, I know. Of course, Liz is out there listening wherever she listens. Is that in America?
She's in Maryland, the land of the cookie.
Brilliant.
Or as we'd say, a biscuit. Biscuit.
Kent Farmers Markets have been tweeting about you, and it is Kent Farmers Market Month. Have I mentioned that?
Quite a few times.
Cherry Berry Co. They are going to GK&C Market.
Told you they were going somewhere.
Which is in South London. And they're also at the Equine Expo in Detlin.
Horses?
I think that's... they've got a little farmers market there. That's on Saturday.
They're not slicing up horses.
And they're horse jumping.
All right, okay.
So that sort of stuff. It's all saddles and things like that. Exciting stuff to do
Tally
with
ho.
Horses. And he's at Elm Court Farmers Market on the Sunday. So that's that. There's the big lunch are doing something. What are they doing? 7th of June. They're doing big lunch.
Where is it? Do we know?
Westminster.
Okay.
At the Chapel, London. And that's in Westminster. Warmer Food Festival have tweeted as well. I'm just trying to find them at the moment. They are in there somewhere.
It's very hard reading these Twitter. I don't think Jeff appreciates the work we're doing.
It's absolutely manic all the time, isn't it? Channel Radio. Oh, well, that's where we are.
Yeah.
Chris has been on. No, you didn't get the winning ticket, Chris.
Oh, poor
Sorry.
Chris. He was one number out, wasn't he?
He's always one number out. Barrister Broke has been on. John Rawlinson has been on, and I think that's about it for the moment.
For
that's
now.
As far back as I'm going.
Can you just tell me about the winning ticket and how much there is at Elm Court, which is this Sunday at 9 a.m. is it?
It is this Sunday. The ticket has to be claimed by 10 a.m. We start at 9:30. Has to be claimed by 10 a.m. The amount of vouchers you can win is £900, and the winning ticket is 36158. And you must notify us before 10 o'clock at the market. So if you've got that ticket kicking away, do come and see us. We have 35 stalls, as always. It's our third birthday. We've been doing it for 3 years, Jules.
You don't look a day over five.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that was a compliment. Yeah. I'm not 100%
certain.
It's
got lovely skin, listener, from being out in the open and eating all those vegetables.
Demonstration Kitchen, as always. We have She Who Bakes with us this month.
Oh, yeah.
And she comes from just down the road in Lower Howstall.
Yeah.
Been on the telly. She's award-winning.
Red hair.
She's great. Yeah, very red hair. That's I think that's a little bit of a trademark.
Like an ample bosom, but I don't know whether I'm allowed to.
I don't know. I'm definitely not allowed to.
I
know
it now.
That. Good. There you go. That's our market on Sunday.
Magnificent bosom, may I say.
Lots of other markets on, of course, all
Jeff's
over the weekend.
Jeff's got a bit hot under the collar now.
Yeah. And that's it for my winning numbers and everything else. You can find us on Twitter. Do you know what we are on Twitter?
Well, I do, because you try and trick me with all your Twitter names. It's at Elm Court FM. M-R-K-E-T, that you've slipped an E in this one. It's not a mucket.
I know. You're so good. Do you know that? I'm so like good. 9:30 to 1:30, Sunday. Postcode, if you need it, is ME73JQ. We're in the old Y-Vale Garden Centre, which is the top of Boxley Hill in Gillingham.
I think you did that beautifully, Stevie Wood. And I'm sorry that Chris Pollard is one number out yet again. How much was it again?
So sad. £900.
Oh, you've just lost £900, Chris. Sorry.
Again.
Of course, it's book launch of Miriam, the lovely Miriam McGurk. You can follow her on the Twitter, Miriam_McGurk, M-small-C, Gurk, G-U-I-R-K, little Irish lady. It's the launch of her Tales from Turkey book this Thursday. I shall be there frolicking. If anybody
where is that then?
Maidstone.
Brilliant.
You can see by the flick of my hand.
Yes,
I know exactly
Maidstone. Maidstone. The and county town, you know.
And guess where I'm going on Friday? Like I need the calories.
Friday. No idea. Oh, Harry. Is Harry doing something for you, especially?
He's doing. Well, I did a lovely lunch and I called it the Scoff and Quaff lunch. It's before I knew Jeff, otherwise I would have invited him. I didn't invite you, I don't know why. Maybe because you're not that great a cook, not sure. We could have had chili jam. I think I did invite you. I think you were busy.
Always busy, but never normally too busy for something to eat. But
well,
must have slipped your mind, Jules.
It was in my little house in Tankerton, and I invited all these people, about 15 people, and then realised I didn't have time to cook at all. So I rang them all up and said, oh, we're doing a sharing. Could you all bring a dish?
Always works.
It was
a cop-out, but it worked really, really well. So Mr. Harry Covert, at Mr. Harry Covert, has decided to do a Scoff and Quaff dinner in that honour, in that vein. It's sort of a networking lunch. So if anybody's listening in Whitstable, I would quite like to drink if anyone wants to drive me. What's the point of going to lunch if you can only have one?
He is a professional at it, so it's always good to get the professionals in, I think.
Yeah.
Does he still come round your house and cook for you if you want to?
Yeah, he'll do all that.
Do a pop-up restaurant round your house if he wants to? He's a good lad, isn't he?
Do you know what, Stevie? I'm going to play a song because you're going to get, now we're going to get Biddenden Julian Barnes on the phone, the MD, to talk about the wines. And Jeff is going to pitch in and say why they had that wine with that meal, aren't you, Jeff?
Sprinkle in comments, yes.
Exactly. So here's a little bit of Cher and Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves.
Of a traveling show, my mama used to dance for the money they throw. Mama would do whatever he could, preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Lay their money down. Picked up a boy just south of Mobile, gave him a ride, filled him with a hot meal. I was 16, he was 21. Rode with us to Memphis, and Papa would have shot him if he knew what he'd done. The money down. Never had schooling, but it taught me well with its smooth southern style. 3 months later, I'm a gal in trouble, and I haven't seen him for a while. Oh, I haven't seen him for a while. Oh, she was born in the wagon of a traveling show. Her mama had to dance. They throw Grandpa do whatever he could, preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Gypsies, tramps and thieves, we hear it from the people of the town. They call us gypsies, tramps and thieves, but every night all the men would come around and lay their money down.
Ah, that was Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves. They're a fabulous show. I feel quite wild because we are talking about wild food, listener. On Tuesday, on my birthday, I had quite a lot of frolics at Western Hanger Castle, a couple of bottles of champagne, as you do, with lovely Sarah Poole there. And thank you to everyone there. And then we trottled on to Saltwood on the Green to meet the lovely Jeff Kipp, who is the chef there, and Will, who I've never met. And I must go into the kitchen one day. And Chef had come up with this amazing, which is why I chose to go with my party, wild food evening. And I really, really fancied it, talking about forage and food from around the area. I think it was, Jeff, a 5 mile radius.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
That was the goal, yeah.
Okay. You brought in Biddens and Wine, Julian Barnes, to pair up beautifully with the food that you had sourced. And Julian is on the phone now. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning.
Hello. Really enjoyed the chat. As I have explained to listener, I was a little bit worse for wear. I do remember coming and talking to you. I remember that bit, Julian. And we had a long chat, and I shall trot along and see you at the vineyards. But it was a really good evening, and you were certainly very interesting in the way that you explained about your wines. I have to say, the one that I remember, the two that I loved were the two white wines, which I can't remember which one I prefer, but possibly the Ortega. But it may have been that it was the pairing as well. And Jeff will tell us about why you paired them with his food, with each dish. But one of them, I think it was the Ortega, was like lying in a, I can only describe it, listener, as lying in a summer meadow on my back, watching swifts and swallows and butterflies in a wildflower meadow and just sipping. It was the taste of summer. What would you say?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I think that, the wines and English wines with their range of aromas and flavours, you know, go very well with foods, and it allows chefs to be, completely inventive, if you like, because there are no sort of preconceived ideas as to what English wines should possibly go with.
Now, when did you establish your vineyard?
We were a family business, independent family-run vineyard, established back in 1969, and since that time have grown to 23 acres, and we have now got probably half the vineyard is planted with Ortega, which we've become known for. And from a wine perspective, it's fruity, aromatic, and I think it allows chefs to be a little bit adventurous with spice, while having all those lovely fruity flavours to go with the food.
Jeff, I'm going to bring you in here. So had you met Jeremy before, or where did the idea come from Jeremy and yourself?
Well, we have had Ortega on the menu since the beginning. So that's step one. Again, we're highlighting seasonal, local being one of the key. So it seemed natural for us to bring them in. Their range is very, very good. And there's a chance for us to sort of match food to the wine, which is how I was trained, was to go food infinitely flexible, wine more or less static, so you have more opportunity as a chef to play the food towards the wine. So again, the range is superb, so we had lots and lots of things to choose from.
And coming from America, how long have you been in Hythe, Jeff?
We've been in Hythe about 6 years.
Okay, so how did you first hear about Biddenden?
through drinking.
Okay, right. So somebody introduced you.
As a consumer of the wine, yeah.
Okay. So you two, Jeremy and you, got together and talked about, did you go through the menu with Jeremy or?
No, we had the wines, like I said, we had Ortega on from the beginning. We asked how many wines they could have, because mm-hmm. a lot of people will kind of keep something under the counter and you don't know about it until you start talking to them about their,
yeah,
but what they have,
his favorite, you know, one, yeah, that he doesn't let anybody
this
else
one out, yeah, only for special occasion. But we were able to walk through it, and they have sparkling wines that they offer as well. It's, you know, it's just a brilliant little package.
So, Julian, you came and did a fabulous talk, and I know that Ken Lloyd that was there was really fascinated. So do you want to just run us past a few things that you said?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that one of the things I found quite interesting was the fact that we played this wine and food matching the other way around, which was unusual. So rather than going and choosing a wine to go with the food had been chosen to go with the wine. Mm. So that was a little bit of a twist that was interesting. First of all. Obviously, we had the Bacchus first, which came with the cured meats and wild leaf salad, and this bittercress that is something that actually, when you've had it explained to you, is something that everybody could find. I think one of the interesting things after that evening also was the fact as to how the wine changed with those different bits of leaf in when you were eating through those, how those changed, you know, changed and affect the acidity or perhaps the fruitiness, or whether it was it was drier or, you know, or seemed slightly sweeter.
Now the Bacchus was that the red one?
No, that was the white. It's
okay.
It's quite a distinctive, quite minerally aromatic English wine. It's quite new to us at Biddenden. We've probably had it planted for about 10 or 12 years. So in theory, only sort of 5 or 6 crops off it since we've been producing it.
Mm.
But also another thing that was quite interesting is we went on to the other course, the Razor Clams.
Oh, yeah.
Was having the Gribble Bridge Dornfelder, which is our red wine. Again, it's light, fruity red wine as opposed to heavy and oaked, but was actually served cold, so again, quite refreshing with the things that it is. And I think probably would suggest that as a, you know, really to get an understanding of it as a white wine drinker's red wine.
And
you know, if you were blindfolded, I think you'd struggle to, you know, possibly pick which type of wine that was.
And where would you get such a name as a Gribble Bridge Dornfelder?
Well, the Dornfelder, as in Bacchus and Dornfelder and the Ortiga, are all the varieties of grapes that we use, and we use the wines, or use the grapes as individual varieties. That's just one of the things that we've come to do. Gribble Bridge is the name of the lane. Just trying to
great
give it
name.
Some provenance. And then Ortiga, as I say, is something that we've Biddenden has set its hat at. It's known for. Half the vineyard is planted with Ortiga. It's quite difficult to grow as a country with a maritime climate. It doesn't like the wet, so we've got all these dews, and you know, we're having early mornings and fogs and rain that we have. But it does produce, you know, a wine that I think people are, you know, find very easy drinking, and covers that whole area from lunch times through to early evening, and it's a wine that can go from
very quaffable.
Yeah, and it can go from that sort of aperitif stage, you know, canapé stage, through to, you know, through into the main course. And then the sparklings. Obviously, England's getting a, you know, big reputation for sparkling wines at the moment. And although we're not at Biddenden, we're not chasing the champagne dream, if you like. You know, they are very flexible and a lot of fun.
I think what Julian was saying very quietly, he mentioned just once on his pass through the descriptions, but these are single varietal wines. Mm. So you know, the Bacchus is one grape. The Gribble Bridge is the Dornfelder is a single grape. And what's interesting about that is a lot of people will blend, and you're blending to fill in gaps or pieces that are missing in a wine. You're trying to develop into something that maybe it doesn't need to be, or maybe you want, you know, a direction you want to go. But what they're doing there, I think, which is really special and it's very understated, is they're working with the grape in its element. And that's what I loved about it. That's why with the Bittercrest Panna Cotta, we're able to play with it. And on the plate, there's lots of different flavors. There was richness from egg and dairy, from the cream. There's some spiciness from the herbs. It was a great platform to jump off on. And the same with the Dornfelder. The Dornfelder was a brilliant wine. And if I had to, the reason we picked that for a second course, as opposed to going more traditionally, you'd go with another white. It is such a beautiful little wine. But I think the Ortega, I think maybe possibly because of its history, has been around longer and worked with it longer. It has it's a bigger wine, if that makes sense, Julian. It has a lot of little hooks into it that we could play with. So the idea of taking the Dornfelder and chilling it and then just focusing on the highlights from that wine allowed us to work with the Razor Clam and the elements that we chose to pair with that dish, which I think was maybe a bit of a twist, the whole red wine and fish thing, but then moving it up in the order of courses, I think, was again another twist. But I think it highlighted the wine pretty well, I hope.
Julian, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, the Bacchus was probably something that you would have put at the beginning of the meal, but not necessarily then sort of thrown a red in the middle of it, and then, you know, Ortega and neither not necessarily finished with sparkling, even though you'd been on it most of the day. but the whole thing was, it played on the mind, which was great. Good fun.
Well, I was lucky. One day I went out to eat. This was ages ago, early in my chefing career. And to be fair, I was wooing my now wife at the time. I took her to a very fancy restaurant that I couldn't really afford.
So it worked.
It did. It did. Ultimately, it worked. And she said it wasn't necessary, but it's a good story. But we had this meal, and I quite quietly leaned over to the wine director, sommelier, and said, "This is what I can afford. Could you sort me out?" So what he suggested was a single wine that would go for the entire dinner, and it was a big, beautiful Burgundy. It wasn't too expensive, but it was perfect. It was about as expensive as I could afford at the time. And he just sat at the table. So the first course, it was cold and had those characteristics, but nice, clean, had lots of little floral notes. But what was interesting for me is that as it sat on the table, the wine opened up, and there was a lot more going on. It was far more interesting.
And your wife.
Anyway, another story. Probably not appropriate for radio. But and that's what I thought about the Ortega. I thought the Ortega was such a brilliant wine. Wouldn't it be great to have it not be served chilled as you might normally expect it? Let's let it open up and let its true character come out. And that's where we just ran with it at that point. And I thought that was one of my favorite pairings for the night was the Ortega at just above, just cooler than room temperature.
Mm. Julian, are you doing any export at all?
No, we concentrate very much on the southeast. We don't deal with supermarkets and wholesalers. We do our own deliveries on our own vans, trying to work locally with restaurants, hotels, and delis.
So could you give us a quick shout out for your website and so that people can log on and have a look?
Yeah, it's biddenandvineyards.com. But we're open 7 days a week at the moment, and you know, as much as we tasted the wines with those particular courses the other night, it changes every year. There's always a reason to come and taste wine at the vineyard from year to year. As I say, they change. It's an agricultural product in its first instance. Get out into the countryside and come and see us.
Stevie Wood is here, who's the manager, as I told you before, off air, of the farmers markets locally in Kent, and he just wants to ask you a question. He's got his paw up.
Hi, Julian. Hey. I'm just interested by Gribble Bridge Lane. If we were coming to find you, is that the lane that's off the Bad Bend on the A262? Which you end up driving down if you're going a bit too fast.
Yeah, if you're heading out of from say Maidstone down through Biddenden towards Tenterden, you come to a very bad left-hand bend, and you take a right there towards Benenden, and Gribble Bridge Lane's about half a mile on the left-hand side.
Yes, know it well. I'll have to pop in next time. Do you still do cider?
We still do cider and apple juice. Yes, we do.
I remember the cider. Very nice.
Yeah, and we've got our Produced in Kent food day on the in aid of the air ambulance on the 14th of June, so a couple of weeks' time, where we'll have 40 individual stands from jams, marmalades, meats, liqueurs, all things Kentish.
I think Matthew from Kent Fine Foods was talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be there.
Canterbury cheesemakers, beers, Wooden Spoon, all everybody. Yeah.
So that's at your place.
Yeah, that's at our place on the Sunday the 14th of June.
Brilliant. And is there an entrance fee for that?
No, it's free, and all the standholders' money, any standholders that are coming that have paid for their pitch fees, all the pitch fee has gone to the air ambulance.
Okay, that's brilliant. Really enjoyed having you on the show, and no doubt we'll get down to see you. Perhaps Jeff and a few of us could come down to the vineyard, or you know, we'll get you into the studio, and say a big hello to Victoria.
Will do.
Who was there on the night? For now, Jeff, Jeremy Barnes. Speak to you very soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julian. Bye.
Bye. That was Jeremy Barnes. From so I'm just switching off the phone here. Jeremy Barnes from Biddenden Vineyards, talking to Jeff and Steve and I and you, listener, about his vineyards, which were great. We've had a few tweets. Ken Lloyd, who's listening in, I'm just going to play a song in a minute, Ken, who says, "Don't mention that I nearly got stabbed by the bad taste cake knife that my mother brought in."
Was that you that nearly stabbed him?
"And knocked the waitress over trying to avoid it. Because my mother, who's 84, she's from Essex. I am an Essex girl. I admit it. She brought me this bad taste knife, which had all the songs. So it was a very refined evening, it was supposed to be, because it was my birthday. It played Auld Lang Syne. It played Happy Birthday. Of course, I thought this was hilarious."
Sounds great.
"After the amount that I put away and managed to play it every time poor Jeff stood up to say something of interest." I'm going to play a little bit of Nielsen. Everybody's talking, followed first of all by my trademark champagne cork, and then we'll be talking to Jeff and Steve about that menu.
Everybody's talking at me, I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain, going well, the weather suits my clothes, banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain, going where the weather suits my clothes, banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave. I won't let you leave.
Oh, I love Nielsen. He died in a dentist chair, which has really upset me. Did you know that, Jeff?
I did not know.
No, you see, little snippet there. You heard it first on Scoff and Quaff. I used to, in my youth, sing Without You very well, loudly, with all my girlfriends. We thought we were fabulous at it. I've got a going to go over to Stevie Wood, who's got some, Twitter's gone bananas. But first of all, I need to ask Jeff a question, because otherwise I'll forget. This is from Ken Lloyd, who is the best graphic designer in the world, probably. He is ex-Saatchi and Saatchi and Young and Rubicon, and he lives in Herne. So that's why I like him. He's just round the corner. But he says, Jeff, to keep on creating new ways to cook and prepare familiar ingredients must be difficult, Jeff. Where do you find most inspiration? And has he ever used a food ingredient, particularly with foraging, that is new to his knowledge? It's a very in-depth question, isn't it?
So part one.
I can always read it again.
Well, it's all kind of the same, and great question, exactly. Where does any sort of professional find inspiration, really? And there's loads of different ways. I read everything. My eyes are always open. I love to have conversations like this. I'm talking to Steve and Jules. I mean, I learn stuff every place I go. I always ask questions. I love people's nans. I ask questions about how did you do your chicken soup we were talking about earlier today. Yeah. Those things are imperative to what we do, because there's nothing better than historical. Anecdotal is good, but historical, this is exactly how things happened. Mm. I read, so everything from the supermarket magazines to my long-suffering wife puts up with my cookbook collection. It's getting a little bit more refined now. So, but you just don't know where that inspiration is going to come from. In some ways, it's quite nice to not focus on food, to think about other things. I was told once that to invent a new flavor of ice cream, the best way to invent a new flavor of ice cream is not to think more about that, but to think about sailing or think about a walk on the beach. That's where.
So when you might eat the ice cream, almost.
Exactly. What's the occasion? One of the words that I use a lot when I'm talking to young chefs is context, how things fit in, where, how they go together, why they go together. And that's the majority, I think, is planning on context. So that's familiar ingredients in an unfamiliar setting. That's one way to be creative. Some you can tell when somebody's trying too hard. I don't think there's new ways to cook things. There's not really. There's only 5-6 ways to cook something, and that's it. And
I want to ask you one bit of the meal that I do remember with fondness was your slow cooked egg. I've never had a, you know, because I do my egg for 3 minutes or 5 minutes. I do it. Tell me about that slow cooked egg.
It's in the business. It's probably a bit old fashioned now because everyone's done a version of it.
Yeah.
But again, the trick is to use things for effect or on purpose, not just to do it because it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But we have a water bath. It's a controlled temperature water bath. So it's cooked.
Now, what's the posh name for a water bath? It's got that
thermal circulator.
Oh, really? Is the
very, yes. Yeah. Sounds fancy.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit fancy because it'll hold the temperature plus or minus a tenth of a degree, which is pretty phenomenal.
Mm.
We also call them ghetto water baths, where you could use a big pot of water in your house. It's not any different, really, other than you have to pay a little bit more attention. But
so
yeah,
was it a normal egg?
Just a regular egg. We cooked it for 63 degrees for 65 minutes, so an hour and 5 minutes. And that, it just starts to set the yolk because it cooks so slowly.
Mm.
It starts to coagulate, it's a fancy word, but it starts to set it. So it becomes kind of custard-like.
It was absolutely delicious, you know, memorable for me. I mean, I have never had that. I don't think I've done a lot of fine. Would you call it fine dining? What you're doing, or what would you call it?
Maybe fine dining without the pretense. We're not a
pretentious moi. Yeah.
No, I mean more us than you. Which should be fun and enjoyable to eat. Like the reason for the egg, there was no. Probably didn't notice, but there's no oil on the plate. There's no dressing or anything. So the egg's purpose, there's a purpose for the egg, was to add richness and another without adding fat.
Yeah.
So that's the point of the egg. So there was a reason for it to be there. So it wasn't just because it was fancy and it looked great on the plate. It was because it had a purpose.
It was stunning. Let's get back to the Ken's other question, which because I wanted to ask about foraging. How dangerous? Well, you know, it sort of goes in with, you know, Ken asking if you found anything unusual that you didn't know about. How dangerous is foraging? Because I know with wild garlic, for example, in the Riverford boxes, they were saying that you've got to check it because every now and then something dangerous gets in. Steve Woods is
like a badger.
You've got to be careful. Don't do it in the bit in between the lanes on the motorway. Then it gets a bit dangerous.
In between the lanes? Oh, yeah. Oh, very
Central good. Reservation.
Crossing
well,
over
but also you
hard.
Wouldn't want to do it where things have been sprayed a lot, I guess. Mm. But grass verges.
Next to the roadside, aside from the traffic, next to the roadside is not nice because you do have Fumes. The exhaust and, yeah, and it does affect the... The vegetables.
So where do you go gathering nuts in May?
Like, I can't tell you all of my secret locations because they're secret.
So if you see me following
away,
you.
Yeah. What's secret. That black van with the tinted windows?
Secret
I don't know.
Squirrel.
Oh, just jewels, don't worry. But no, it's all very local. Where there's some forests on the way. Pretty much any walk you take, you could gather everything that we gathered.
And do you do this with your kids as well? Have you got them in?
Interestingly, we're talking about, we went to...
You could do it at schools, couldn't you?
Yeah, we went to Kent Life last over the bank holiday.
Mm.
And we're walking through the parking lot. We had to park way in the back. As we're walking back through, it was like, hey, kids, there's yarrow, which is something that when we found on our thing, it's quite rare to find a big patch of it. And it was everywhere at Kent Life. So
really?
Like, oh, if only I knew. And so we were in the back garden. The kids are pulling up things going, is this, can I eat this? I'm like, well, no, you be careful.
That's the thing.
That is the trick, yeah. So we, for the event, as I said, even on the night, we didn't stray terribly far off the center. We just picked things that we knew exactly what they were and didn't take any chances. And if they're even close to, we're not sure, we didn't use them.
Mm, okay. Stevie Wood is champing at the bit. I'll come back to you, Jeff. First of all, I must apologise to Julian Barnes because I know I called him Jeremy. I don't know who Jeremy is. All I know is I had Julian's name in my head and it went. But I have got a little virus, boys. So
we didn't notice.
No,
you're covering it very well, I must say.
I know.
The only other very. This is quite a serious note.
If I was a
note.
Man, I'd be dying.
The other thing, foraging. Is always, if it's open land, do it above knee height. Look for stuff above knee height. If you've got a dog, you'll understand that.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that. Yes.
I'm making a joke of it, but it is a bit serious. Once again, it's back to the side of the road or wherever.
Yeah. I'm sure Jeff is very careful where he goes.
Definitely above the knee.
I'm sure he is, but you know, a lot of people don't think about these things when they're out there.
Stevie Wood, have you got some Twitters? I noticed it suddenly got very lively, and I know you're manhandling my iPad and having things, but have you got
Yeah, any? I'm having loads of fun with it. It doesn't seem to be doing a lot at the moment, but
I'm
sure that's the operator and not the Twitter feed. Ben Smitten have been on again with us. They're, as you know, they're one of our sponsors. This Saturday, they are at the Bell at Ticehurst, so I'm assuming... There's no time on that, so I'm assuming that's going to be sort of morning-ish. But,
where is Ticehurst?
Ticehurst is on the Kent-Sussex border. The Bell, which is a pub right smack bang in the middle of the village. If it's the pub I'm thinking about, go and have a look in their function room at their sunken table.
Mm.
They have a function room with a table in it, but it's sunk in the middle.
Ding dong.
And you can walk along the table. Not while there's food on it.
I often do. Ask
not
Jeff.
Not while there's food on it, but you can walk in. I think the idea is the guest of honour walks in along the table while everybody's sitting on it. So, Darren's been on. I didn't know. I've just learned something. Oh, no.
Who's Darren? Darren Tickner?
No, that was Darren from Being Smitten.
So you're getting the names wrong. It's not just me that's seeing
I am,
now.
Yes. This knife keeps appealing.
What, the knife?
Yeah. I didn't know, but apparently you have got... It's absolutely gone.
A stalker?
Let me just get rid of this.
Let me tell you while you're looking.
You've got a survey. That's what I was looking
for. Oh, yes.
You've got a
Alex
survey.
Waterton.
Because Alex Waterton is tweeting in saying, do the Scoffcroft survey while you're listening.
Well, that's what got you in a scrape because,
I just tried to do it.
My
and
co-presenter.
I lost the page.
He went off-piste and started doing it, yeah.
Not the first time, not the last.
I wish people would stop ringing me when I'm live. Kent Dark Chocolate are obviously fans of Jeff Kipp. They're listening in.
Sally Lake has also sent us a photo of a lemon drizzle cake.
She's a wicked.
We want some. We really do want some.
We do.
We normally have cake and we haven't today. We don't have anybody with anything
well,
sweet.
Because I wasn't very well. I should have told Jeff to bring some huevos rancheros in. I'm more savoury. I tramped up Whitstable High Street. I was obviously feeling ill. It was starting yesterday and I was craving something, you know, savoury. And it was obviously the beginning of this virus. And I tramped up the whole of Whitstable High Street, Jeff. Could I find anything savoury? You can always get a gluten-free, you know, brownie or something. But I wanted a sausage roll or something gorgeous. Can't get anything. So I'm going to... And I snapped at the butcher. You know, he had all these pastries and cakes and you know, sausage rolls and pasties. And I said, you can buy gluten-free now in all the supermarkets, rolled, ready-rolled pastry. I snapped at him.
Can you get a gluten-free sausage roll?
Yeah.
Oh, that's clever.
Of course you can, because you can buy the gluten-free pastry already. It's even rolled already. And then they can just get a decent sausage meat without gluten. Why do they put gluten in sausage anyway?
It's the rusk they do to bind it together. All sausages have some now, binder in them.
Jeff, there's a shop called M&S. You may have heard of it.
I've heard of this M and
yes.
Is it S?
Yes, M&S. And all their sausages are gluten-free now.
Brilliant.
You go and look. Fabulous. And also my butcher, Sermons in Tankerton, fabulous butcher, they do gluten-free. They keep it in the freezer, but you can get gluten-free sausage meat. Nurse Liz says, my music stopped. My lovely little background music. Let's pop him on, a little bit of cha-cha. She says she loves wine match dining. Two wonderful people talking wine and food. So that's not us, is it, Steve? That's Jeff and...
Can't be me, definitely not.
That's Jeff and Julian, aka known as Jeremy.
You can do beer matching now as well, can't you?
Yeah, well, let's do it. And she says, this is why I love Scoff and Quaff. She's our biggest fan.
This is why we love it as well.
We do. So ADM Computing, that Survey Monkey, do go on and do it. That's a good one. Shall I go back to Jeff now? I think I will.
Why not?
Jeff.
Still here.
What have you got going on in your manor?
Well, we're sort of planning our next paired food event, and we're going to do it with Kentish beers and ciders.
Just what you were saying,
so,
Steve.
Exactly.
I'm in.
Yeah, done.
And you know, so, cider is very good if you're, I'm pointing at you very rudely, but I got excited. If you're a diabetic, it's actually quite good, better on the sugar thing, apparently.
I'm just to believe it's one of your five a day apples.
So two things there.
Yeah. But you know, Western Brewery have gluten-free beer, Jeff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so maybe I'll latch on if you can get some of his in. So tell me about that, your pairings.
Yeah, so it kind of has to come from both sides. We have we plan about 6 months out, or try to plan about 6 months out, have a discussion about what we think roughly we'd want to do. And so they always evolve a little bit. So we're going to do this one as a celebration of the pig.
Celebration of the pig?
Yeah. So we thought beer, what would go better with beer and cider than pork?
Oh.
So we do a menu based around the pork.
So you're going to have some lovely crackling, presumably?
Yeah, there'll be loads of stuff. We're going to try to do a format like we've done on New Year. We did a New Year's idea where our first course was actually lots of little things. So almost like you would do canapes, only a bit more evolved.
Love a canape.
Yep. So we're going to do several little tastings that way, then lead into the you know, a more substantial middle course.
Is this on your website?
No, we're actually finishing the menu right now.
Okay, so but listeners can go onto the website, which is
saltwoodrestaurant.co.uk.
And it'll be, if it's not up, it will be up there soon. And we'll try and put it up on Scoff and Quaff as well. I've had a question from the lovely Mark Smith of Whitstable Stove Shop. He does barbecues now, you know, for summer. And he is asking, which wine, Jeff, goes with smoked meats?
Any of them?
Cider, beer.
But food and wine in general. So if a big, broader brushstroke. I think Steve is exactly right. Actually, you drink what you like. And that's always the first step. But there's two ways to look at approaching food when you're doing a pairing. One is to complement.
Yeah.
So you're reinforcing or putting something there to bring out a particular flavor. Like if you say a Chardonnay has a vanilla and wood, you might put smoked meat with that because you can literally add smoke or vanilla to it. So that's a complement or a contrast.
I love vanilla.
Contrast is when you would pair something against it. Mm. So spice against a wine or acidity. Those things you can work those too. So you're creating tension, which makes it very interesting. So it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do, but that's the two ways to do it. So I would suggest, depending on what the temperature is, bubbles always work. Always work.
What do you mean temperature? You mean the weather?
The weather outside.
Well, there's no telling here, is there?
Well, not right now.
I had my double quilt on again last night. It's outrageous in June.
Wearing two jackets today. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is.
Packing the kids off. We don't know what they're going to wear. Here's something for rain and something for snow.
And a sun hat just in case it peeks out.
Some lotion.
Go on, carry on.
Oh, no, I was saying, so barbecue, gosh. It kind of, for me, it would also depend on the style of barbecue. Being American, we've got pretty much a thousand different ways of barbecue. So whether you're doing rubs or sticky, spicy or sweet, those would all influence your pairings. But again, drink what you like.
I'm loving the sound of a spicy rub. Ken Lloyd has actually tweeted your menu out as well. So he loved it. I think we'll get a regular party together. What we need is drivers from there. Luckily, Nina is the driver, so that was quite good. And my husband had to drive.
You could always try AK Pet Services. They might take some people.
Yeah, I look like a Labrador. Tubby.
I'm lost for words.
Yeah, you've never seen a thin Labrador, have you?
Yes.
They don't exist, thin Labradors. No, they're always tubby.
Working ones are.
Okay. Do you want to round up about Elm Court Market? We've got like 2 seconds. No,
yeah,
2 minutes.
I'd love to. There's a bit of a difference there.
Nurse Liz is very excited about the beer. But I've just got to say, sorry, I've interrupted you, Steve. She says her favourite, it's very hard reading all these. I'm going to get someone behind me, an assistant, I think. If anybody's listening and they want to do some Twitter and radio work, they can come and sit behind me for an hour.
Come on the radio. It's very glamorous.
Exactly. My favourite, says Nurse Liz, in Maryland, Jeff, is the Herb Farm in Washington State. Amazing open kitchen. So there we are. Shall we all go?
Why not?
Road
get
trip,
on the next plane.
Trip.
I think we need to get Nurse Liz over on a
we
plane.
We need more than the driver. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Rounding up.
Elm Court Farmers Market, 9:30 till 1:30 Sunday, top of Boxley Hill. June is Kent Farmers Market month, so do please go to a farmers market. One of mine would be great. Any of them would be fantastic. Take a friend. Don't forget, supporting local food is supporting the environment. It's good for the local economy. It's just good for you. So do that.
And what we say is, apart from do, is to take your nan, your gran, your family, all of you.
And your bag.
Yes, a bag for life, you mean. Now, Mark Smith is chortling in Whitstable as he unpacks his barbecue, ready to sell. He's in Saddleton Road in Whitstable. He says, how did this turn into a conversation about spicy rubs? So funny. A little bit of innuendo there, which I like to. Now, Caroline and Liz, Riverford, Kent. So they are on the Twitter at Riverford_Kent, delivering all the way through East Kent. They have a lovely PR, you know, Steve Wood. Fabulous she is.
So I hear.
They say, we've got donut peaches this week as well. A first for me. Now, they're those flat ones, aren't they, Jeff?
Yes.
Which I eat a lot in Spain, and they're called something beginning with P, like a parachute or something. I can't remember. We need someone Spanish.
Is that the donut or the peach you're talking about now?
It's a flat peach. They're gorgeous. Paraguayo or something like that. Something.
I'm just going to let you go because I like
Papagrayo.
It.
Something like
that. It's a good job you're multilingual.
I know. Alex Waterton, morning. He's chirping in again about his survey mugger. Clint Tansil. Actually, we had a lot of new listeners and I haven't managed to read you out. I will write them down and give you a mention next week. But lots more on the UK Food Show. So hello to you. We've run out of time. You've been listening to the fabulous Steve Wood. Go and see him at Elm Court Farmers Market this very Sunday and take your bag for life and everyone else and have some lunch there and some mid-morning coffee and watch the cook-ups or cook-ins. Julian Barnes, the MD of Biddenden Wines, and the fabulous Jeff Kipp, We're not sure if he's Canadian or American. He's always a bit cagey about it. Go and see him in Hythe, Saltwood on the Green. You can park there. You can eat there. His chef is fabulous, Will. And from all of us in the studio, from Jeff, from Steve, and from Julian in Biddenden, goodbye. And a big thank you to our sponsors, of course.
Goodbye. Are we doing sponsors?
Yeah, go on, quick.
Quick. It is... Wrong piece of paper.
It is breakthroughfunding.com. Bean Smitten. And Blé Couture Cakes. Get some.
Lovely cakes.
Goodbye.
See you, bye.
Channel Radio. Channelradio.co.uk.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Another great Jules Sergin scoff and quaff show on Channel Radio. No alpacas were consumed during this production.
And I roll my breakfast 'cause I'm a hungry man. I say shake.